Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So now, before we invite our preacher, I'll just take the Bible reading, and that's the book of Acts, chapter 2. You want me to read it? Okay. Okay. Yeah. The Bible reading.
Just an announcement that we have an upcoming United event at HTL. We haven't been sent a proper flyer for it, but it's upcoming, and they need some extra hands to volunteer to help with it. So if you are free, I think it's on the 7th of February, so if you're free on that day, please let me know. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think I'm going to leave the Bible reading to our pastor. So I'm going to invite our pastor, Pastor Benji, to share the mind of God with us this week. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you, sister, for leading us into lovely service so far. Shall we give a round of applause to our lovely sister? Come on, everybody. We want to see church members being involved in the services, praying and leading services, whatnot. If you are gifted, please do one of us, please come and meet us. And there's plenty of opportunities, but only if we know you and we understand you, where you are standing. So. Just to let you know, we want the regular members to be involving in the services quite often. So that's why we see her leading today, and we want to use all the giftings. So just to be quickly, because of the time, I would like to recap what we've been going through for the last few weeks. Even in the previous year, I think we've started a series on the book of Acts, and we've been through different sessions or of teachings and meditating and listening to the word. And today we're concentrating on this part, Acts chapter 2, from verses 22 till 41. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 till verses 41. So, let me give you just 2-3 minutes the background of what has been spoken last week and previous weeks. We know that Jesus died and rose again, and he went up to heaven, and the disciples didn't know what to do. All they knew was to pray. They just met in different places every day and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And we understand on the day of Pentecost, it starts with chapter 2. Day of Pentecost, these people were sitting on an upper room, and they were praying and seeking God, asking God what to do, what shall we do now? Because they were not clear what they're actually doing. But they remember God's, Jesus' promises, what Jesus has said to them. So because they were not clear, some people must have remembered that Jesus said, you know, I will send you the comforter, the somebody who would comfort you. They're probably waiting for that particular person. Anyway, they were praying, and all of a sudden they have seen the tongues of fire, falling on each one of them. So it's interesting, when God comes down, there are some sort of manifestations in the Old Testament. If you go back to Moses, when Moses was in this place, ran away from Egypt in the desert, tending the sheep, he saw a fire in the bush. And he thought, oh, where did this fire come from? You know, we quite often we hear about fires these days in America, isn't it? So the country is dealing with this. So the fire is danger, and it can consume anything. So Moses went near to that bush, and it was the fire, literally the real fire, but the tree was not being burnt. It was still a tree, and he was so shocked. I always ask question, why would God come into that manifestation? God wanted to show to Moses that he is supernatural. If you burn anything, it will burn away, isn't it? It will become ash. But when God comes down, he can even make the fire cool. He can even make the fire not to be fire, but look like fire. You know, there are so many implications we can think of. God is God of supernaturalities. You know, you think if that thing happened, if that disease hit you, that's the end of the life. That's the common thing. But when God comes into the scene, what happens is he can just turn it around. Hallelujah. So don't believe the natural stuff when it comes to healing or when it comes to life issues, because our God is the author of our life. He can control, he can turn it around, he can do anything because he is superpower. Anyway, so the fire, the tongues of fire came down on this particular day. And people were not being burned, but others were watching them on their on top of them, maybe on top of their heads or on top of their mouth, wherever. Now they see the fires everywhere, like candles, the tongues of fire flowing around. Hey, what's going on? Are these guys doing any magic in here? No magic at all. It was literally fire, but cooled down. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit manifested in the tongues of fire. And also another tongues we see here, the languages. If you read in that particular chapter, people from different nations have actually reached to the particular place, Jerusalem, at that time to celebrate this 50th the festival, the Pentecost. So they were all there. They were hiring some rooms. 31st night, we had a celebration, and 24th night, we had a prayer. People traveled from different cities and towns of the UK, long distance. They were asking, is there any place we can stay overnight for a couple of nights? And I was reminded of this story. You know, when the Holy Spirit came in, and already God has made things are available. These people travel from Asia. It mentions Asia. It mentions Iran. You know, if you are here from Iran, you know, there are people from Iran. You know, so many nations travel to particular place because they all love God Yahweh. They want to celebrate. Perhaps there are the people who have scattered around from within the Jerusalem and settled down in different countries, the diaspora. Perhaps they had Jewish roots, but they settled in Rome and different places because of the Jewish people were all over. So they travel once in a while into Jerusalem to celebrate and thank God and go back home. That probably was the reason. Or some of the Gentile friends would love to sacrifice something to God Yahweh. So they used to come because they respect, they say, this God is the living God. We better go and worship him on their particular festivals. And the Holy Spirit fell down, and these guys started to speak some unknown language. So they can't understand the person who is speaking, but the audience, among the audience, somebody understands, hey, he's speaking my language. What is he talking? He was sharing about Jesus. So who was he? Among all those people, Peter is the guy who stood up and started to preach. That was the sermon last week that we've come up to. Now, can I read quickly a few verses, then we go on. 22, men of Israel, Peter speaking. Hear those words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourself know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. So he was continuing his sermon. He was telling to the people of Jewish cultures, he's saying, you know, you heard about Jesus, you know, you killed him, but death could not hold him. God raised him up. Hallelujah. It was the truth. Amen. Come on. It's good to be excited, because this is what we're all about. The death we think, we fear, we worry. No, you know, it will not hold anybody, because Jesus said, you know, I have conquered everything. So, this guy was telling, you know, he has come down to this earth for a particular purpose. He came down with the foreknowledge of God. God has sent him. But what you have done is not nice, but God has a plan. So he was quoting some verses from the from David, and then we're not going to look at it because it's time-consuming. Let's go to 29. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So he was talking about David, who prophesied and he said, now there will be a prophet, there will be a person who would reign after me, just with righteousness. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witness. We have seen that Jesus has risen. So Peter was mentioning again and again, Jesus was not just buried, Jesus' tomb, even till today, is open tomb. This is the only one tomb in the whole world that says this man has risen. Only one open tomb. All the tombs are closed because they all decayed. So Peter was telling, we have this witness. We have seen him, you know, walking among us. We have seen him going up to heaven. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourself are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So David already prophesied, sit at my right hand. But it was not for David. It was for Jesus. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He was making sure that God, it's not about, not just Jesus becoming himself a Messiah. God himself made Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one means in the history or understanding of Jewish people, it's so special. They would not touch the anointed one. They respect the anointed one. Anointed one would be the Messiah. Anointed one would come and do the things that they were expecting. So they don't even touch, but they killed Jesus. So Peter was making sure you touch the anointed one. You did what meant to be wrong, but God still forgives you. And God made him the Christ, the Messiah. You need to understand. Even today, people think, what is all about Jesus? Why are you talking about too much of Jesus? If you're here, don't know about Jesus. It's not a historical figure that we are keep on going. Jesus is Messiah for the Jewish understanding. For us, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus saved us. Jesus is the only answer for our sins. Jesus is the only the one who forgives sins. No one else can forgive on this earth, for sure. No other religions can forgive you. That's for sure. So they were clear. Peter was clear. 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This is the passage that we want to remember today. Bible, Peter was clear, anointed by the Holy Spirit, not just he himself, speaking that if you ask, what shall we do? If you think Jesus is a just religious figure and all the churches popped up, even if there is no church, Jesus is Jesus. He is. And today we see many things happening. Whole world is going upside down, all these things. Jesus still the same. Jesus still manifests his healing. Today, my wife meant to come here and share testimony. She has an amazing testimony we went through quite recent few months, not years, just a couple of months ago, where she saw Jesus and his crew came into the hospital where she is laying down with unknown future, whether she would make it home or not, with sepsis. Whole body was being decayed. Doctors said, we'll have a look at it, we'll see it. And they were not sure, we were not sure, and everybody were not sure. Jesus comes down in the middle of the night. She felt something happened, somebody did something. She fell so deep sleep. Every night she wouldn't sleep. On that particular night, she fell into sleep as though somebody had given her an anesthesia. And she felt somebody was shaking bed and some sort of strange thing happened. Next morning, whole thing turned around. Hallelujah. And the church was praying on the knees here, our church. I'm talking about our church. All our friends and pastors and deacons, pastoral team, everybody were they were on their knees one day, literally. Every day, God hears prayers, definitely. And when God comes down, it will be a total different scenario, my friends. I don't care whether you believe it or not of Jesus Christ. If you believe, you're saved, you're lucky, or whatever, you're blessed, whatever the term you use. If you don't believe, you can use all the opposite words. Because it's not about believing, it's about understanding and getting into it. It's some people are like, you believe. No, believe is the first point. You need to know who Jesus is. This guy was very clear what you need to do. Repent. The first thing is terribly offensive. Do you know that? Gospel can be offensive. Who are you to tell me to repent? I have my own rights to do whatever I want. You call it sin, I call it freedom, isn't it? You call it nonsense, I call it, it's the modern thing. You're still living in the 100 years before. Come out, that's what people say. My friends, Peter was clear, repent of what? Of the sins. What are we doing? Today, what kind of sins are we doing? We're holy, we're Christians, we're coming here. You know, in terms of our conscience, are we really sinners? Of course, Jesus washed us with his blood, but every day we meant to repent because we do things that are not in line with God's word. We think those things won't matter, but God searches our hearts and he knows who we are, what we are. Repent and be baptized. Everyone of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There were so many baptisms that this particular baptism is for the forgiveness of sin. If you are not sure your sin is forgiven, my friends, we're losing something. Eternity, when you face the eternity after this life, that is going to be terrible. We better clear off all the stuff and be righteous with God. That's the Bible says. It could be harsh, but don't take it as harsh. Don't take it as some important thing for our lives today. And he clearly says, be baptized. Some people started to argue, you know, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Of course, you don't have to be. Jesus loves everybody. But there is a system that even Jesus had gone through, and baptism plays a vital role. If you're not baptized here for your sins, not for the wedding, not for the sake of something else, if you're not baptized for your sins, and if you've not got rid of the sins, that is the worst place that anybody can be. I would like to invite you this year, maybe in this Easter service, we will have baptism service again. Come and dip yourself, a holy dip. All the things, all the sins will be washed away. But symbolically, you would change literally. Be baptized. And he was explaining, this is important. Some people ask me, so how does it affect us today? In those days, whoever believes in Jesus, they were saved. And now after all these years, thousands of years, how? It doesn't make sense if Jesus died for me. He was there 2,000 years before. How can he die for me now? Have you ever seen people asking me this question? How can it affect me? Years ago, in India, they were living in a pagan system where the women was not allowed to come in front of the men. They can't even sit next to their own husband. They were only allowed to sit on the floor. They were not allowed to dress proper and be free. They had no equal rights with men. So many things used to. Somebody comes onto the government, I think it was Christians, definitely, and all the missionaries, including William Carey from this church, was there, and they were fighting for women's rights. And they said, you can't be that way. You know, they used to have sati. When husband dies and the wife has no value, so she was treated like nothing, not living person. So they will throw on the fire along with the body. So both will die. So people has no problem. All these great men and women, they will cheer, they will make noise so that nobody can hear the cries. They used to throw the little babies as a sacrifice in a river so people won't cry, people won't listen to the cries of the babies. They all shout and make drums. What a nonsense world. Somebody comes into the throne and they said, this is manic, this is wrong, this should not happen. So he made a bill, he passed it, and he said, from now onwards, no more sati, no more killing. Hallelujah. And that goes to our church too. We are the people, when, because our guy went there. That credit comes here. So anyway, so they've started. Now that you see lots of Hindu women comes upon to the TV and speaks up. We hate Christians. We don't like these Christians. They are building churches. One question. If that Christian was not there at that time, you would have been dead by now. How did Jesus die 2,000 years ago, and how would it affect me? If that person did not make that law, you would not even talk to me. You wouldn't have dared to talk to me. My friends, we go manic, we don't understand how much Jesus loves people of this world. That death here clearly speaks this person who the salvation would be affect. 38, repent and be baptized, everyone. Not of you in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and will, okay. For the promises for you, he was telling, for you at the present time, those people, and for your children, he was telling next generation, and for all those who are far off. In another translations, generations after generation, that would be the, all those who are far off from now, not just people at that time. Whoever comes to God, whoever comes and repent and be baptized, this salvation will apply for them too. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. He was very clear. Today, we live in a generation where I don't have any words. He was mentioning crooked generation, but we don't know what this generation is called. And this generation we live. 41. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people repented on that particular day. What is the secret of repenting? Because they were actually looking for the truth. They were actually looking for what is the way for the salvation. They knew, they understood what had happened to Christ, Jesus. Now they got the whole picture. Oh, now our eyes are opened. Today, are we waiting for the truth to come into our heart? This salvation applies to us. They were baptized. All of them went away to their own countries. They share the same good news to their friends. That's how Christianity started to flourish. That came up to us. And even today, I can't count now how many nations are sitting here. How many people, how many languages. If that didn't, that particular salvation was only for Jewish people, we would not have any eligibility to sit here. Because Peter said, not just for you and your children, it's for the generations, for far, far, far. And to the nations, Jesus himself said, go and preach the gospel till the ends of the earth. So that we are saved. If you are sitting here today, I'm thinking, well, I'm Christian, but I just wanted to start a new journey. You are the best person I can meet today. Nobody should have to go and think it's a shame. No, it's the brave movement. It's the thing that we should be doing in our lives. If you are willing to think and say, let me think, I probably need to go through baptism this year. I'm going to ask people to, you know, respond this afternoon. If you think, actually, I really need to start a new journey because the way I understood Jesus or Christianity churches is totally different. This is different. My friend, this is truth. All the stories are not true. This is true because it's the Bible we're talking. I want to invite today. We'll be praying for you. If you are a good Christian and you think, well, yes, this is what I want. Thank you for sharing. I want you to recommit your life and say, this guy, Peter, bravely shared the gospel. That's why 3,000 people were saved. How many people did you speak to about Jesus? I am so timid. I can't speak about Jesus at work. They can speak about something else at work, but they can't speak about Jesus, isn't it? Some people are ashamed to say that I'm Christian. Some people are ashamed to say, I'm a pastor. You know, pastor, is it something bad job or what? Whenever I say pastor or minister, people say, oh, are you religious? What? They see me as that, or I'm doing something wrong. If I say I'm an IT great guy or a doctor or this and that, wow, great to see you. So light, exciting. When I say I'm a pastor, are you religious? Okay. Hey man, we need pastors, we need ministers. If without them, how can we run a church? Without a doctor, you can't run a hospital. We need. Don't look at them so panic and threatening. Now, they're not going to kill and eat people. They are shepherds. They will say, they will teach people into the right flock. No. Shall we close our eyes? And say, Lord, what a privilege that I got to know Jesus. I got to know this gospel. This gospel is so powerful when it goes to India, it goes to Africa, it goes to, you know, places like that. People embrace it because they knew this is liberating. This is something lifting our lives up. Where are we today? Lord, thank you, Lord, for that Jesus, our Savior. And we want to follow him. We want to accept him as our personal Savior. If you want to be prayed for any reason,